إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهد الله فهو المهتدي ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا وإمامنا وحبيبنا وقائدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بلغ الرسالات وأدى الأمانات ونصح الأمم وكشف الله به الغمم، وتركنا على المحاجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك. وبعد، فإن أفضل الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة في دين الله بدعة، وكل بدعة في دين الله ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. اللهم أجرنا من النار. My brothers and my sisters in Islam, I begin with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and the blessings and the mercy of Allah be upon you. I begin by praising and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I begin by declaring that the beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one worthy of worship, commitment, and devotion. My brothers and my sisters, for the purpose of today's khutbah, we're going to focus on a segment of Surah Al-An'am. Surah Al-An'am. And Surah Al-An'am is incredibly, incredibly smooth in its flow. It flows very, very well. And it's a conversation that is going back and forth between the mushrikeen, the Quraysh, and the Prophet Muhammad and the believers. And it focuses mainly on one theme. And that theme is, give us a sign. Give us a sign. And in order to understand the Qur'an and understand the surah of the Qur'an, it's always good to contextualize it to the time that the surah is revealed. And the ulama, by consensus, agree that this surah was most likely revealed all at once. There are so many ahadith that corroborate one another to suggest that the surah was most likely revealed all at once. It's a conversation that is smooth and that is continuous. And it's revealed right after Surah Al-A'raf. And Surah Al-A'raf is the surah that gives many examples of previous signs. Actually, it mentions all the signs that Banu Israel saw. And despite those many signs, one after the other, people still did not believe. And so the Quraysh are now saying the same thing. We agree that your message makes some sense. And we agree that things are lining up in your favor. This is still in Mecca, late Mecca. So we agree that things are lining up in your favor. But we want some proof. We want some physical proof. And if you were to give us this physical proof, then we're most likely, we're definitely going to submit. So the ayat of the Quran come to mention or come to respond to this claim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the fourth ayah of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا تَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ إِلَّا كَانُوا عَنْهَا مُعْرِضِينَ. It does not matter what sign comes. Whatever sign comes from their Lord, they would find a way to turn away from it, and they would find a way to interpret it in a way that is self-serving, and in a way that does not necessitate them changing their way of life. And that's the main theme of the surah, my brothers and my sisters. That once you've made up your mind, it doesn't matter what comes. It doesn't matter what sign you see, what physical sign you see. It doesn't matter how great it is. You will find a way to interpret it in a way that is self-serving. Now this is such a big claim. The surah comes to give examples of that and comes to prove that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us, just a few ayat later, in ayah 7, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ نَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ كِتَابًا فِي قِرْطَاسٍ فَلَمَسُوهُ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ لَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ. This is incredible. I want you to imagine the Quraysh is saying to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know what, we're ready to believe, but ask your Lord to send down the Qur'an, the revelation
on scrolls, on tablets, on some form of written material that we can see with our own eyes descending from the heavens, falling onto the ground, and we can touch it with our own hands. Imagine how material. We can touch it with our own hands, and we can read it with our own eyes. Then we would believe. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us an insight into the mind of this individual. And the Qur'an makes it clear that this is what would actually happen. Imagine the book comes, and everyone is bewildered. Everyone is in awe. Wow, amazing, incredible. We can see it, we can touch it. What an amazing reality, what an amazing experience. They would be in awe for a moment or two, or perhaps three. But after a while, they would look to one another, and one would suggest, how can you believe that what you saw was real? What if our eyes were fooled? What if it was a figment of our imagination? What if Muhammad now, Allahumma salli wa sallam baraka ala Muhammad, what if Muhammad now has magical powers? What if he tricked us? What if he's collaborating with some magicians? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they would be in awe temporarily, as the Mufassirun say from this ayah, but eventually they would just say, it's just magic. We didn't really see what we saw. We were fooled. It didn't really happen. So they would come back again and they would say, in the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what would they say next? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْهِ مَلَكٌ وَلَوْ أَنزَلْنَا مَلَكًا لَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ ثُمَّ لَا يُنظَرُونَ وَلَوْ جَعَلْنَاهُ مَلَكًا لَجَعَلْنَاهُ رَجُلًا وَلَلَبَسْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مَا يَلْبِسُونَ. Then they say to Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, you know what? This miracle or thing that we saw, this book descending, coming from heaven down to earth, it's great, but we can't relive it again. It was a momentous occasion that happened once, and we can't really truly believe that it happened. So why don't you ask your Lord to send an angel down that would accompany you and be there with you so that we can live and see this miracle, not just once, but over and over and over again. So imagine now they're asking not just for a temporary miracle, they're asking for a miracle that now would last, a more lasting miracle. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, beautifully here. He says, if we were to send an angel, two things would happen. And this gives you an insight into the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands our psychology. Imagine the Quran is predicting not only how we would react, but the implication of our reaction. And the Quran makes it clear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows us better than we know ourselves. And the Quran does not bother itself with the distractions. You know the distractions that we give and the excuses that we make. The Quran goes straight to the point, to the core, and bothers not with any of the distractions. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if they were to receive an angel that walks amongst them, two things would happen. Number one, they would eventually contest that the angel is too perfect. We can't mimic the actions of the angel. The angel says this, the angel says go to war, but the angel is much stronger than us, much more powerful than us. So they would eventually demand that the angel takes the form of a human so that the angel becomes more relatable. How ironic. The angel is too perfect, not relatable, so send us a human that we can relate to make things more consistent. And two, if a sign so physical, so real, so lasting comes and stays, and stares them in the eye, it's still not going to change their behavior, which would necessitate an immediate punishment. And this is one of the main themes in the surah. That information does not change people. Information does not change people. We all know certain things, but does that mean we change our behavior? We, for example, know that smoking is destructive. Many of us, most of us, know that smoking is destructive, and we know that smoking is haram because it kills. We know that. In fact, they have to put pictures. Imagine a picture of lungs that have been affected by lung cancer on the smoke package. So you don't buy it. But still, people look at that picture, they move on, and they still buy it. Information did not change the individual's behavior. It didn't. So imagine the same thing would happen. The angel would be staring you in the eye, a physical manifestation of Allah's power, but still the behavior of the ones who are asking for the sign is not going to change. And that would necessitate immediate punishment. And this is one of the main themes of the surah, is the information alone does not change people. Information can help you establish the motivation required to know Allah, to have a relationship with Allah. And then that relationship is what strengthens you, what gives you the power to change your behavior. But information alone doesn't. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes, repeats this point over and over again. We all know things, but our behavior is contradictory to what we know. We all know that working out is good. We all know that certain foods are better to avoid, but they're too delicious, so we still eat. Right? We all know certain things, information, we know it. But information has not changed people. Knowledge of that kind has not changed people. Familiarity with what's right and wrong does not change people. In your own lives, many examples of this. Many examples of this. Right? Sometimes you have an individual, you ask them, give me a khutbah on this topic, they'll give you a khutbah on this topic. They'll give you a khutbah on this topic. What's the right thing to do? What's the wrong thing to do? But when it comes to the practical implementation, they still fall short of what they know. They still fall short of what they know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my brothers and my sisters, makes it clear in these ayat that there's one fundamental thing that will really determine whether someone is changed or not. And that is mentioned in 36. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the same surah, إِنَّمَا يَسْتَجِيبُ الَّذِينَ يَسْمَعُونَ وَالْمَوْتَى يَبَعَثُهُمُ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ يُرْجَعُونَ وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ آيَةٌ مِّن رَّبِّهِ قُلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَادِرٌ عَلَى أَن يُنَزِّلَ آيَةً وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا طَائِرٍ يَطِيرُ بِجَنَاحَيْهِ إِلَّا أُمَمٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ مَا فَرَّطْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ ثُمَّ إِلَى رَبِّهِمْ يُحْشَرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not waste too much of your time on this. Ignore it. Because in reality, only those who are truly listening to you, only those who are actually present will heed to the message. Only those who are actually attentive, they're truly listening, they're truly engaged, can actually heed and accept the message. As for the dead, only Allah can resurrect them. As for those whose compasses are dead, you can't change that. Only Allah can bring them back to life. So imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making a direct statement here that only those who are alive from within, who still have their fitras intact, who still have their hearts intact, who are not distracted by hidden motivations and secondary agendas, only them can see what's there. And they will not ask for more signs because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they know, has already provided enough signs. Enough signs. So Allah says, وَمَا مِن طَائِرٍ يَطِيرُ بِجَنَاحِهِ وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ. There's not a single animal on earth and not a single bird that is soaring in the sky except that their nations, people, families like you, and they're also signs for the one who's looking to see. It's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is redirecting their attention, redirecting their eyes, saying rather than asking for these physical manifestations that you think would actually change your behavior, the fact that you can't see the miracle in the signs that are already there is enough a testament that you will not be able to see the miracles or appreciate the miracles that you're asking for. It's like a distraction. We like to distract all the time. Right? We like to distract all the time. Imagine the example that the ulama give is the example of a mother who tells her kid, can you do the dishes? And what does the kid do? The kid knows, mother wants me to do the dishes. But the kid doesn't want to do the dishes. So what does the kid do? Mom, what soap do you want me to use? Do you want me to start with the white ones first or the red ones? What's the temperature of the heat and the water that you want me to use? How badly do you want me to rinse it? Do you really want it now? Can I do it later? So ask all of these probing questions, not because he or she is genuinely interested, but because he or she wants to delay the execution. And sometimes people hear this and like, well, am I really doing this? Am I really, maybe in asking, Ya Allah, give me a sign, Ya Allah, give me a sign, and then I'll really change. Maybe I am, maybe I'm genuine. Well, that's a question that only you can answer. Are you being genuine, asking for signs, or are they distractions? Are they distractions? And have you already seen and witnessed signs, but you can't really appreciate them? Let me give you an example of Fir'aun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this example in the surah previous, Surah Al-A'raf. Imagine, Musa comes to Fir'aun. I am here with a message from your Lord. Give me a sign. Musa produces two signs. Takes his hand out and is bright. And there are many meanings associated with that. He takes a stick, throws it onto the ground, and it becomes a snake, a serpent. Does Fir'aun say, Oh, I believe, I'm convinced. Oh man, this is amazing. He doesn't say that. He says, this is magic. Let me go and get you better magicians. Let me go and collect all the magicians in the city, in the country, and get them all to come and prove that you're not who you claim to be. So he gathers all the magicians, and they all come together. And he says, let's go. Game on. It's all fun, entertainment, games. And he wants everyone to see, because he wants Musa to be defeated in front of the masses, crushed. He thinks he's going to win. When Musa puts humbly that snake to the ground, by the will of Allah, it consumes all the other serpents, all the other snakes, and the magicians themselves prostrate to the ground, and they say, we believe in the Lord of Musa. We believe, because they know the difference between magic and no magic. And they don't have as much to lose. They believe. But what does Fir'aun say? Is he going to give up his power just like that? Is he going to give up his money and prestige and position just like that? No! He rationalizes it. He interprets it in a way that it's self-serving. He says, no! No! إِنَّهُ لَكَبِيرُكُمُ الَّذِي عَلَّمَكُمُ السِّحْرَ. He's actually one of you. He's collaborating with you. It's a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy. You guys are working together to take power away from me. To take away my power and my position. This is all a conspiracy. And every sign that he sees, read Surah Al-A'raf, every sign that he sees, he reinterprets in a way that is self-serving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us another dimension to this argument later on, where he says, one of the things they say, imagine Allah says, this is so powerful, Allah, my sisters and my brothers, if we pay attention to it. Allah says, even if they were to die, even if they were to die and be resurrected, and even if they were to come and see Allah and see the angels and say, we made a mistake, give us a second chance. And even if Allah were to give them a second chance at life, they would still go back to what they did in the first place. And this is such a bold statement. You know what happened? Few people, imagine the first day that they come back on earth, man, life is so short, life is so temporary, we saw the angels, we saw the prophets, we saw the messengers, we saw the nations, we saw Musa, Harun, and Isa, and Ishaq, and Yaqub, and Yusuf, and Dawud, and Sulaiman, and Muhammad, we saw it all. We saw Allah, we saw the angels, we saw Jahannam, and we saw the ghaib in its entirety. But then what would happen after a while? One of them would ask, did you really see it? You're here, aren't you? Is it all that there is? How do you know that you were there? How do you know that wasn't a trick? And what if it was real? God gave you a second chance. You can get a third one. And a fourth one. And a to interpret in a way that is self-serving. And another example that is more real, more practical, that we can relate to, I want you to imagine you're driving, and you're all good drivers, mashallah, but I want you to imagine in your past, or imagine someone else, not you, someone else is a reckless driver. You know one of those reckless drivers? One coffee in one hand, the cell phone in the other, you have a laptop that you're typing with your feet, if you could. Yeah, and you're so this, mashallah, you're multitasking at the best of capacities. Right? And you're driving, and you happen to hit someone. And the person's car that you hit flips. And at that moment, you're like, Ya Allah, I'm in so much trouble. I made a mistake. Ya Allah, help me. Ya Allah, help me. And I want you to imagine at that moment, you're like, I just hope the person is not dead, because that would be such a... I can't recover from that. So you run out, you're okay, alhamdulillah, you're grateful. You run out, you go to the car, and the person is okay. Person is okay. No injuries, minor, alhamdulillah. Which is miraculous in a sense. Now you can interpret it, you can say, well, you know, from the physics and this. You can interpret it, you can explain it in any way that you can, in any way that you want. And then after that, you're thinking, man, I'm going to get a big ticket here. And imagine that when the police comes and you go to the collision center, you're told that actually the conditions and the weather conditions were so terrible that it's not your fault and it's not their fault. It's no person's fault. And your insurance fixes yours, move on. So you go home that day and you put your head to the ground and you say, I was reckless, I could have killed someone, I could have gotten a big ticket, I could have paid a lot of money. But Allah saved me from all of those things. And I vow and I promise not to be distracted again. So the next day that you drive, after your car is fixed, how are you driving? Two wheels, you're checking right, you're checking left signals. You're telling people, life is fragile. Life is fragile. Don't do that. Stay focused. Now you become an advocate for safe driving. Because you've been there. You know what it's like. But what happens? What happens with time? I'm sure we've all seen something like this. It's our psychology, it's our humanity. What happens with time? What do we say? After a while, just one quick text. I really need to let them know that I'm late. Pick up the phone, text, and khalas, throw it out. And then after that, it's not just a text. It's two texts, and three texts, and then one quick call. And then two quick calls, I forgot my Bluetooth set, one exception. And the exception becomes two, and the two becomes three, and the three becomes four, and the four becomes a habit, and the habit forces a change of attitude. I got away with it once, it's okay. What are the chances that it's going to happen again? Right? And that's the nature of humans, is that we forget, number one, and we like to reinterpret information that is presented to us in a way that coincides with those things that we established and accepted as part of our schema and part of our belief systems. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that those individuals who are asking for those signs, it does not matter what they see, they've already had established a central belief system, a central core that they're not willing to change or budge on. Or they have incentives, power, a haram relationship, money, right? A girlfriend, a boyfriend, an addiction that they don't want to give up. They don't want to give up that. So they re-articulate themselves rationally to make sense of why they don't believe. And a lot of the times, you know, finish with this example before mentioning an ayah, we'll summarize there inshallah. A lot of the times we like to present our emotional tendencies, we like to format them in terms of rational ones. Let me give you an example. And forgive me for this, but it's blunt. And I hope it establishes the point. I want you to imagine there's a young man, 17, 18, 20, 25 years old. And he's walking in downtown Toronto. And he sees a girl. He sees her. And he is khalas. He has fallen for her. He has fallen for her. And this is an emotional link, an emotional decision, an emotional inclination. Now when he goes to his mother, do you think he's going to say to his mother, hey, by the way, I'm consulting you because I saw her and I just fell in love with her right there and then. He's not going to use that emotional explanation. He's going to say, I've been thinking about this. I've done istikhara, I've done istishara. And you know something, mom? Like, she's studying sociology, I'm studying psychology. Imagine what we can do together for the ummah. She's 1, 2, 3. I'm all these rational explanations to make sense of an emotional inclination or an emotional decision. And many times we do that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do that at the core of why we don't want to believe or why we don't want to budge. There's an emotional, right, distraction happening in the back, but we don't want to admit that. We don't want to admit that. So we present it in a more rational way. Now I want you to imagine, my brothers and my sisters, after all of this, and here's the catch. And here's what I want you to take from this khutbah and walk out with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the ayah 50, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, O Muhammad, قُلْ لَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ عِنْدِي خَزَائِنُ اللَّهِ وَلَا أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ وَلَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ إِنِّي مَلَكٌ إِنْ أَتَّبِعُ إِلَّا مَا يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الْأَعْمَى وَالْبَصِيرُ أَفَلَا تَتَفَكَّرُونَ. This is so powerful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, O Muhammad, I do not have the keys to the treasures of Allah. I can't promise you treasure. I can't promise you wealth. وَلَا أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ. And I don't possess knowledge of the unseen. I don't know what's going to happen. I can't promise you victory tomorrow. I can't promise you defeat to them. I can't promise you any knowledge of the unseen. So I can't promise you power. I can't promise you knowledge of the unseen. And nor do I claim to be an angel. All that I have is revelation from Allah, and my duty is to share it with you and ask you one simple question. Can the one who know be equal to the one who doesn't? Do you not reflect? You know why this is so powerful? Because many times we tell our kids, be good, be Muslim, so that Allah can give you money and power and prestige. Practice so that Allah can elevate you. Worship so that Allah can give you. And Allah can give. But that's not why we establish a relationship with Him. It should not be a transactional relationship. We should not have a transactional relationship with Allah. I will worship because He will give. No, I should have a relationship with Allah based on who Allah is. I love Him because of who He is. And I worship Him because of who He is. And whether He gives or does not, that is up to Him. And I ask Him to allow me to see the signs that He's given me. And when He takes, I'm grateful. When He gives, I'm grateful. When I have, I'm grateful. When I don't, I'm grateful. Because I'm not worshipping the things He gives. And I'm not attached at His expense to the things that He's taken. Just focusing on Him and Him alone. And when you have the attitude of Allah, you'll be able to see all the signs that are already there. And Allah will show you more and more and elevate you more and more and give you, but not because you want it. And that's what you need to have a relationship with Him, but gives it to you because now you appreciate that the world is temporary. And you can take whatever He gives and use it as a reason to be better and to make the world a better place. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم سائر المسلمين. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على المصطفى. اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك اللهم لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا واصرف عنا برحمتك الشر ما قضيت. اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا مهتدين. اللهم بارك لنا وفينا وعلينا واجعلنا مباركين. اللهم اهد شبابنا ونساءنا ورجالنا واغفر لوالدينا وارحمهم كما ربونا صغارا. عباد الله، ان الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. أقم الصلاة، الصلاة كانت على المؤمن كتابا موقوتا.